Heavenly Father, Lord King, thank you and I praise you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will take over and guide this message. It will be of the Lord and not of me. In the name of Yeshua Mashiach, amen. So as Rabbi Doro was saying in his message of Yom Kippur, that humbling yourself is very painful in the flesh. And I can really relate to that because I really don't want to give this message this morning. Because in the flesh, it's painful to me. But I know the Lord puts you through trials and puts you through things that you don't want to do, to bring all the impurities that were within you up to the surface. But unfortunately, he doesn't remove them. We have to remove them ourselves. We have to be put in situations. And we have to obey him to be in these situations so that you can remove these impurities, so that you can be more pure for him. This week's parashah from the regular parashah reading cycle, it's called Ha'azino. It comes from the root word azan, which is actually originates from the word ozin. And ozin is the Hebrew word for the ear. And in the complete Jewish Bible, it states that the name of the parasha is hear, meaning that ha'azino means to hear. But the art scroll Kumash states that ha'azino means listen, which is pretty much the same thing. But ha'azino literally means to give an ear. So Moshe states in Deuteronomy 32, verse 1, give ear, O heavens, and let me speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. It is interesting that Rabbi Eduardo assigned me the portion to read the chant today was actually this actual verse. And in both the art scroll Kumash and the Solzhenitsyn commentary, they both state that Moshe was calling upon heaven and earth to be his witness as he tells the congregation of Israel what will happen to them if they sin, which ultimately they do, although he warned them. And as a side note of interest, in the Kumash, it also states that Moshe tells the congregation of Israel the ultimate joy will come with the final redemption. And this is very interesting, especially as we're about to celebrate Sukkot. It states that Moshe uses heaven and earth as witnesses because he wants the witnesses that will outlive his and later generations. Plus, I believe heaven and earth are more reliable witnesses. And if you think about it, Yeshua thought so as well. Because if you look in Matthew 5, verse 18, he states, for truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until it is all accomplished. And in Matthew 23:22, he also says, and whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. This is really deep stuff to me. And now I'm in no way am I saying that this message today is similar to Moshe's song in Ha'azino. But I'm asking you all to give an ear to what I'm going to say, and I ask heaven, which is the throne of God, and the earth, God's footstool, to witness what I am saying, not just for your sakes, but for mine as well, so that we all will be held accountable to the Lord. I cannot speak for the others who stand up here and give messages, but for me, most of, not all of the messages I give are based on my personal experiences, my personal trials, past and present. These are teaching moments for me that are also have relevance to others who may give an ear to this message. We may not like it, and we may fail at times, but we all need accountability. And Rabbi Mark is really big on the eldership being transparent to the congregation. So as most of you know, Rabbi Mark and I get a lot of titles for our messages from movies and songs. So the title of this message is the Yeshua Collective. This is a Trekkie thing. For those who are not Trekkies, you may not understand this, but those who are Trekkies will instantaneously get what I'm talking about. The term collective comes from the newer Star Trek TV series called The Next Generation, which is meant to be a continuation of the original Star Trek series from the 1960s. So what does the term collective mean? It comes from a civilization called the Borg, which Rabbi has talked about in previous messages. It's completely fictional, and they don't exist. This civilization is based upon a concept of a collective which has a group mind. In essence, they are all connected by what is called subspace network, where everyone in the collective is supervised and guided as one. This allows all members to share their thoughts. In this collective concept, there is no free will. Thus, the term that is stated by the members of the Borg when they are in the process of assimilating someone, resistance is futile. You have no free will. And if you think about it, when it comes to obeying Adonai, resistance is really futile. I'm sure we all know when you try to do things your way and it's not the Lord's way, it doesn't work out. But for this message, I'm talking about a collective where Yeshua is the center and he brings everything together. He is God and he is the Holy Spirit. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. And that's from Colossians 1, verse 15. And the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, is a subspace network that connects everyone in the collective. We should all be guided and supervised as one, sharing the same thoughts. But that blessing of free will gets in the way sometimes, or so it seems. Because we have free will, sometimes we have the free will to choose the wrong thing. And that gets in the way of being obedient and serving the Lord. In the Borg collective, there is no free will, and they think and do as they are supposed to do and directed by the collective. And in the natural, the physical, what we say and do affects other people. There is a cause and there is an effect. There is an action and there's a reaction. In Japan, when there is a car accident, they consider everybody involved to be at fault, whether or not you hit somebody from behind or swipe somebody, you're considered responsible for the accident, regardless of what part of it you were in, because they believe that if the accident would not have happened if you were not there. In Yeshua's collective, we are given the ability to choose whether or not we follow the guidance and supervision of his collective through the subspace network, which is the Holy Spirit. And what makes Yeshua's collective different and special, more so than the Borg's collective, is that besides the blessing of free will, it is that we do, and what we do and say has an effect on everyone in the collective, both physically and spiritually. That is more of an effect on each other. In 1 Corinthians 6:19a, it states that, "Do you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? All believers have the Ruach HaKodesh residing in them and given by God because the Holy Spirit is God. God is omnipresent, so it only makes sense that what you say and do will have an effect on others, good or bad." Paul even goes further on in the same letter to say, "For I myself, even though I am absent physically, I am with you spiritually." There is a spiritual connection between each and every one of us in this congregation, or in between believers, and what we say and do has a profound impact on others, not just physically, but spiritually. For the past several years, the Lord has repeatedly said to me four words that constantly reminding me of things that trust, obey, believe, and receive. He wants me to trust him, and he wants me to obey him. He wants me to believe what he tells me, and he wants to receive what he has to give to me. And I have not been doing these four things very well. I'm not always trusting of him, and I'm not always obedient to him. And I don't always believe what he tells me. I'm afraid that what I hear is not the truth, and I'm afraid I'm going to tell people, and I'm going to direct them down the wrong path. And as an elder, it makes me nervous, because I don't want to direct people in the wrong path that could mess up their life spiritually. Plus, as an elder, I'm held doubly accountable for what I teach and what I do. The Lord wants me to be humble in obedience to him, to obey him. Ha'azinu, I call on you, all of you, to give an ear, as I know the Lord has already been. I call in heaven the throne of God, the earth, God's footstool, to witness what I'm saying today. And I pray that some of these things that I'm about to say truly come from the Lord, and it's not TMI, too much information for all of you. But the Lord commands me to be transparent, as he does with all who teach from this bima. For most of my life, I have felt rejected by my family and friends, as well as people in general. For me, rejection is a spiritual stronghold for me. And depending upon how close an individual is to me, it can be very painful. In fact, I would rather feel physical pain, be physically beaten, than endure the pain that comes from the rejection. Growing up, I wasn't always the tallest person in the group of people I'm with, but I was always large in stature. Plus, I wasn't one of those that likes to fight. I would never fight. So those other individuals that want to make a name for themselves, to make themselves look good, they would pick fights and beat on me, knowing that I would not. After a while, I developed a tolerance for pain. I would rather be beaten than feel the pain, the emotional pain of rejection. And as I got older, I learned to endure the pain. But to this day, the pain of rejection, I can still not endure. I would rather feel physical pain than the pain of rejection. Over the years, I began to deal with it by ghosting people, meaning I would back off the relationship. Depending on the relationship, it would either be completely, they'd never see me again, or I just wouldn't talk very much. I would answer them when they talked to me. So in the past, I felt rejected by most of my family, as well as a lot of my childhood friends growing up. I remember the one time that they were having a surprise birthday party for one of my cousins, and all the guys that were invited, who were supposed to be my friends, told them if I was invited, they wouldn't come, So I wasn't allowed to go to my cousin's birthday party because of that. So I chose to enlist in the U.S. Navy just to get away. Initially, my cousin, a different cousin, talked to me about going into the buddy system where we would go to boot camp and operating a hospital corpsman school and then operating technician school together. We'd always be stationed together until our first duty station. But at the last minute, he chose not to go in. I chose to go because I wanted to get away. I was in the military for 8.5 years. And in those 8.5 years, I only went home on leave a total of 3 months. I spent most of my time traveling over in Japan. I went to Tokyo. I went to the Philippines. I would rather travel than go home. But even in the military, there was times where I was rejected. And I'm embarrassed to say that it's happened up until recently with people at this congregation. I've had people who I felt that I had a real close relationship with just change the relationship to what I felt was distancing me. Spend less time with each other. I had a congregant berate me for 2 hours telling me what I say up here is not how I truly act, and that is why no one comes to me for counseling. I couldn't understand because at the time I had several people that were asking me for counsel. I told him that it was false, and I explained that there are people, but it still hurt that he would say that what I say up here is not the way I act in truth. I've been told that what I do during worship with the computer and the projector is really insignificant because anybody can do it. Thank you, Miss Ella. I've been told that I didn't need to be present at a meeting because I don't do anything anyway. I've been publicly berated during a meeting for doing something I thought was the correct thing to do, but the other person didn't think so. But the thing that hurt me the most is when I was told by somebody that God gave me the heart attack because I was mean to them. I do not state these things to get sympathy from anybody, nor trying to give excuses for my behavior. I don't, and I'm not just giving reasons why I've been sort of ghosting people in this congregation. I'm giving these reasons because I've heard that many people have been making comments about my behavior, but only two of those people have come to me face to face to ask me why and to make things right. But there's more than two people in this congregation that have been saying things. This is another reason why Lashon Hara is bad and it is painful. It is sinful. It hurts everybody involved. Now there is no reason to question why I have been acting the way I have. I am publicly letting everybody know and explaining why, because the Lord said I had to do it. I had to release this garbage that's inside of me and to remove the stronghold so that Satan cannot manipulate me anymore. Not to say that I will not get attacked in some other form or way. As Rabbi was saying, that Satan does not always come at you head on. He comes at you from the sides, from below, from every angle he can possibly do. And he can use, try and use every single person he can use to do it. I have felt rejection, and my response has always been to avoid conflict and to back off. I stand here humbly today, humbling myself in repentance and asking forgiveness from my God, my Creator, my Father, as well as His congregation. This is not what it means to be part of a collective. What I did was not following Matthew 18 most of the time, but I'm pushing myself to do so now. Matthew 18:15 states that if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. The Lord has shown me that being part of collective is more than just showing up for Sabbath services. We are in Yeshua's collective. We are connected spiritually by the Holy Spirit. What we do and say affects each and every one of us. What I did affected other people. I never realized that. I never thought about how what I was doing was affecting other people in a negative way. This is one of the reasons Yeshua said in Matthew 22:37, you are to love Adonai your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is the greatest and most important mitzvah, and a second is similar to it. You are to love your neighbor as yourself. All the Torah and the prophets are dependent upon these two mitzvot. The second greatest commandment is to love each other. Love your neighbor as yourself. And we hurt others when we say or do something negative, purposely or inadvertently. But the other person does not know if you don't tell them. And they cannot repent if they don't know about it. I truly and deeply repent for my actions because they have hurt others and have caused a disruption in some close relationships. I'm talking about really close relationships that I've had for many years, actually since I came to this congregation. But our actions not only affect others, but also makes the congregation vulnerable. We're being spiritually attacked constantly because of what we do here. And my actions have weakened the congregation. The Lord showed me this after Rabbi Mark spoke about the armor of God. He reminded me that some of the things Rabbi talked about, I also talked about in one of my messages. Paul used the imagery of the Roman soldier's armor for the armor of God. Because of the time, at the time of the writing, the letter to the Ephesians, he was imprisoned in Rome and he saw Roman soldiers on a daily basis. The Roman soldiers soaked their leather covering of the shield in order to extinguish the flaming arrows of their enemies. Take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. That's from Ephesians 6, verse 16. In the pamphlet that everyone was given out by Rabbi about the armor of God, it talks about a tortoise formation. And it was so cool. Oh, the picture didn't turn out the way I wanted it. But you can see the shields cover the front, the back, the sides, and the top. The soldiers combined their shields together to prevent the enemy's arrows from penetrating and thus protecting all those soldiers. And there was also another formation by the soldiers of Sparta, also called the phalanx, which if any of you ever saw the movie 300, was this story about King Leonid and the 300 as they defended Sparta. They used the phalanx as a defense. This formation is like the tortoise formation where they overlap the shields to protect the company of soldiers. Can you go down to the next one? Should have another picture. Yeah, it looked better on my computer at home. I used an extended monitor and it worked fine there. So the pamphlet also states something important, as I think Rabbi Mark mentioned. The shield was used in company with others, just like with the soldiers. Just as the Roman soldiers combined and overlapped their shields to increase the strength of the shield, protecting the company, so too we as believers and as members of this congregation are supposed to overlap our shields of faith for increased protection from evil. We are supposed to draw together to strengthen and care for one another. I have a lot of maturing to do. And I think we all have a lot of maturing to do, because not only was my shield of faith weakened, I did not overlap it with the rest of the congregation to help protect. And that caused a chink in the armor, an opening for the evil one to take advantage of. Romans 14, verses 12 to 13 says, though then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or stumbling block in the brother's way. I praise the Lord for his grace and mercy upon all of us. Ha'azino, I call on you to give an ear to what I'm saying. I call on heaven, the throne of God, and in earth, God's footstool, to be a witness to what I am saying. Let us not be resistant to being part of Yeshua's collective, because resistance is indeed futile and it makes life not as good. Let's all get connected to the subspace network, which is the Holy Spirit, and be nourished, strengthened, and guided and protected. Engage. Amen.